maybe you from the 1970s when the Los Angeles Rams was known as the prison foursome because of that defensive line. Or maybe you were in the city of St. Louis, the gateway to the Midwest, where the greatest show on turf brought home the first ever Super Bowl championship. Or maybe you're in the here and now with the Rams back in LA, winners of Super Bowl 56. It doesn't matter, because when it comes to this, it's all about the Los Angeles Rams. Horns up, Rams house. Time to talk Rams football.
And good day, Ram Nation. How y'all doing today on this September 25th, 2025? It is the beginning of week 4 in the NFL as the Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks at NFC West matchup kicks off this week, which is quite interesting because the very next week it'll be the other two teams in the NFC West kicking off week 5 with them. The 49ers come visit the Rams. That is next week, and I can't wait to talk about that next week. This week we have business to take care of, but good day to y'all. Hope y'all having a good week. Hope y'all getting ready for the weekend. Thank you for tuning in to Remedy Talk right here on the Playmakers Bob YouTube channel or my personal LinkedIn page. Thank y'all for tuning in. You can also catch it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and whatever else you can find podcasts at. This is your Ram Nation East Coast Station. Horns up. Thank y'all for tuning in. Let's just jump right into it. The Rams went to Philly in an NFC division round rematch against the Super Bowl champion, the Philadelphia Eagles. And Rams 26, Eagles 33. The Rams were outscored 26-7 in the second half. We're pretty much outscored 26-0 from basically a quarter and a half to lose this game. Quarter and a half, because we jumped out on them 26-7 in the opening minutes of the third quarter, and then it was all Philly the rest of the way. A very bitter pill to swallow if you're around fans or you're around player, coaching staff, anybody connected to the Los Angeles Rams is a bitter pill to swallow, because that game was ours to be had, and we didn't put the Super Bowl champion Eagles away. This is what happens when you don't convert on the levels that you needed to convert. They end up winning the time of possession, but we had more yards. The problem is we were 1-4 in the red zone. That is problematic, and we all know this. We cannot go 1-4 in the red zone, meaning we are settling for field goals when we get inside the 20. And not putting touchdowns on the board. There are the statistics here. Matthew Stafford, 19 for 33, 196 yards passing with 2 touchdowns and an interception. That interception came on the first drive, by the way. Jalen Hurts, 21 for 32, 226 through the air with 3 touchdowns. 1-2 touchdowns for Matthew Stafford came to Kerryon Williams, who had 20 carries for 94 yards. Leading receiver was Puka Nacua with 11 catches, 112 yards. We held Saquon Barkley in check. He only had 18 carries for 46 yards, which is very low than what he did to us the previous two games when we faced Saquon Barkley. And then in the second half, one of the main reasons why the Eagles were able to come back with is A.J. Brown. 6 catches, 109 yards, and the touchdowns. Any third down play, they went to A.J. Brown. And none of our corners could stop it. I don't mean stop it as in, oh, they suck and they blown. No, they were in the correct spots. They were in perfect coverage. And that guy, A.J. Brown, just outmanhandled our corners. It is what it is in that regard. It is just like, man, I believe Darius Williams, he was in a perfect position, but that dude miscaught the ball. Forrest Jr., he was in perfect coverage. He just caught the ball. It was just like, man, if you throw it near him, he might just damn well catch it. Because that corner was in perfect position. So when it comes to the defensive side, it just couldn't stop A.J. Brown from catching the ball. And then they used the slim reaper, Devontae Smith, on fourth down when they needed a touchdown. And they used him on a out route. And he pretty much won from the get-go. That was just that. I know most people want to talk about the defense. I know most people want to talk about the special teams because two block field goals helped keep the Eagles in the game. Well, one kept the Eagles in the game. The other one block was returned by Jordan Davis all the way back. The reason why they ended up winning by 7 instead of just 1 because it was 26-27 when Jordan Davis blocked the field goal and took it all the way back for 6. So that's how that went. So, yeah. You want to talk about the special teams not making adjustments after the first block? Go for it. You want to talk about the defense? Go for it. But for me, it's Matthew Stafford. Because remember, we were 1-for-4 in the red zone, meaning we had 3 times we had to settle for field goals in the red zone. 3 times. Which is quite interesting because Matthew Stafford missed Jordan Winnington right in the middle of the field for a touchdown. That's one. Matthew Stafford missed Devontae Adams, who broke free and got open. He overshot him. That's 2. And he missed Tyler Higbee, who ran an out route, who beat his defender, and he overshot Tyler Higbee. That's 3. 1-for-3 in the red zone, and I just gave you 3 plays where Matthew Stafford overshot his receivers for touchdowns. Legit touchdowns. I'm not saying, these were legit touchdowns if Stafford would have put the ball on the receiver. So you take off 9 points, so you're looking at 15, and you add 21 to the 15, we win 36-27. That's all I'm saying. When your offense is not converting touchdowns and you have to settle for field goals, you leave the opportunity for teams to get a blocked field goal. You leave the door open because the team feels good because they only gave up 3 and not 7. So you can put the blame wherever you want to put it, but my blame is going to Matthew Stafford for this game. I ain't talking about for the season, but not. Just for this game against the Eagles, we could have knocked them out, and we didn't. And Stafford, you missed a lot of throws on Sunday, sir, if I'm going to be completely honest. And you will probably say you missed a lot of throws that you normally make, which is, hey, you had a bad game. It happens. But just because you had a bad game doesn't mean I don't have the right to criticize you having a bad game. And pointing out, we could have had another dub and we could have went into this game week 4 undefeated and given the Super Bowl champions their first loss of 2025. But it didn't happen. It's all good. The season's not over. I'm not around here going crazy, going ballistic and having a fallout like some Rams fans that I know. I'm not doing it. Look, when I did my preseason picks, I said we'll go 2-0, and we probably won't get our first L in Philly. Guess what? We went 2-0. We beat the Texans. We beat the Titans. And we took our first L at Philly. So, as of right now, my predictions from the preseason are on track. Now, it could change this week because, hey, the team that we brought to face is undefeated, surprisingly. I didn't see that coming. But back to week 4. Tough pill to swallow, but Stafford, you got to be better. You got to make the throw that you're supposed to make. McVay, you got to make sure that the offense gets into the end zone and not settle for field goals. Special teams, Make sure you block the people that you're supposed to block so Josh Carter can kick the ball the way that he's supposed to kick the ball, because he's a great kicker. He's a very good kicker. 6 points. We probably win. And if you want to make that argument, you're correct. I will not argue against you. I'm just saying, special teams shouldn't be in that position to begin with if our offense was to connect in touchdowns instead of selling for field goals. Just saying. Defense, you fought a hell of a fight in the first half. You tried to fight harder in the second half, but them guys just made plays, and you didn't. So I do believe that you will feel some type of way about that, and that's very understandable. But overall, hey, it's a loss. We got to bounce back. We got to get ready. We got another big game coming up. But, hey, we're right there with the Eagles. It doesn't intend to. We're right there with the Eagles. We can play with the Eagles. Now, they have beaten us 3 straight. But, hey, right there. We can take them. If we meet them again in the playoffs, I feel wholeheartedly now we will take them. We meet again in the playoffs. And even if it is in South Florida and in a snowy day, we can take them. We can take them. I know we can. Saw that. But to the division, the 49ers are 3-0 as they beat the Arizona Cardinals to remain unbeaten. Arizona, you let one slip away, and thoughts and prayers out to James Conner, who is out for the season. You hate to see season-ending injuries, but James Conner, you have my thoughts and prayers for a full recovery. Seattle's 2-1. They handle business. You know, the last 2 weeks beating Pittsburgh, and I forgot who they played last week. Who did they play last week? Can't remember off the top of my head, but they handle business, so they're 2-1, and we are 2-1. The reason why we're on the bottom and Seattle and Arizona on top of us, because one, we haven't played anybody in the NFC until we played Philly. We lost that game. Seattle, they beat Seattle lost to San Francisco, and they beat New Orleans. I think it was New Orleans who they beat. Arizona beat New Orleans. San Fran beat New Orleans. So they all have conference wins already. We don't. San Fran, they have 2 divisional wins because they beat Seattle and Arizona. Seattle, Arizona, they'll be playing tonight. So one team will get their first divisional win. The other team will get another divisional loss. And we just got to stay the course. We might be at the bottom right now, but hey, don't look at it that way. Just look at it. It's a long season. We're going into week 4. We still have 14 games, including this week, to go before everything is all said and done. So relax, calm down. We'll be fine. Okay? We'll be fine. All right? We're going to take a long commercial break here. And then when we come back, we're going to preview week 4. It has to be actually a big week all of a sudden.
Hey, Eagles fan. Join my man, Cool McCain, and a host of others as they break down every single game, every single week, in an objective manner, and also from a fan's perspective as well. Remember, this cast feels just like you. Nobody likes you. And you don't care! Fly, Eagles, fly. Eagles Elite Podcast. Every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on YouTube and other podcast outlets.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Cowboys Talk.
The Dallas Cowboys got exactly what they deserved. Let me say that one more time, because you know it's true. The Dallas Cowboys got exactly what they deserved.
Dak Prescott is overrated and he shouldn't be paid, okay? And the same thing with Pollard. I mean, Pollard breaking the tackles at that 57-yard touchdown run. I mean, we needed that big time.
33 points in the fourth quarter. Let me say that again. 33 points in the fourth quarter. And that's off of 4 turnovers committed by the Colts. See, at one point, and the fact that at the end of the third quarter, it was 21-19, and the final score was 54-19, Now that, ladies and gentlemen, that is completely unexpected.
Cowboys Talk is available on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube.
Everything Boston. I love you, you morons. You kiss on the block. New edition.
Dear whatever the law firm is. Sincerely, the U.S. Supreme Court.
Ben Affleck, Matt Damon. Go f*** yourself again, Jason.
And welcome back to Ramley Talk here on this Thursday, September 25th, 2025, as we get ready for week four to kick off tonight with the NFC West matchup between the Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks. Should be a fun one. But for us as Ram fans, we are back at SoFi Stadium as we host the surprisingly 3-0 Indianapolis Colts. Yes, I said 3-0. As last week, they went to Nashville, Tennessee, and they beat down their AFC South rivals, the Tennessee Titans, 41-20. Daniel Jones, who's been very impressive this season, I should say. 18 for 25, 228 through the air, one touchdown. The man of the hour was Jonathan Taylor, who was the AFC Player of the Week for week three. 17 carries, 102 yards, and three touchdowns. Yes, he had three rushing touchdowns. Michael Pittman Jr. had a touchdown catch. Cam Ward still struggling his rookie year, but he had a touchdown and a pick. And we have beaten the Titans. The Colts have beaten the Titans. The Colts are undefeated. They have beaten the Broncos as well. So 3-0 Colts come rolling in the SoFi Stadium. 4:05 kickoff. I do believe this will be on Fox, if I'm correct. Could be CBS. I could be wrong. NFL like switch things up lately, but hey. But here's what we have to deal with. Daniel Jones has thrown for 816 yards and three touchdowns already. Jonathan Taylor had all three of his touchdowns coming against the Titans, but he has rushed for over 300 yards. And for the Rams, Stafford is 739 through the year with five touchdowns and two picks. Kayvon Williams has 226 yards on the year with a touchdown. Puka Nacua is over 300 yards receiving already. Here's the interesting thing. Through three games, we're talking about the Miami Dolphins, the Denver Broncos, and the Tennessee Titans. The Indianapolis Colts have punted one time through three games. I'd say that again. Against the Miami Dolphins, the Denver Broncos, and the Tennessee Titans, the Indianapolis Colts have punted only one time. So whatever Shane Steichen has going on with the Indianapolis Colts with Daniel Jones at the helm is working. It is working. Surprisingly working. They have played, let me see, 12 quarters and only punted one time in 12 quarters. Think about that. One punt in three games. Yeah, you can say, well, Dolphins ain't nothing. The Titans suck. And well, Denver is Denver. Still, it's the NFL. How you punt only one time in three games is remarkable. Don't care what your schedule says. When you punt only one time through three games, that offense is clicking like no other at this moment in time. But now, Daniel Jones, you coming walking in the SoFi Stadium, a Rams team who's filled, who could be pissed off because they left on Super Bowl against the Super Bowl champions. And I do have a feeling you will be punting more than one time in this game, sir. Now, will you be punting enough for the Rams to kick your ass and get your ass up out of here? I believe you should. I believe this team can do the same things that you've been doing. Sean McVay can do the exact same thing that Shane Steichen can be doing. Now, the question is, will Sean McVay actually do them and put this team in a position to win this game, coming off a loss? We should beat the Indianapolis. I know they're undefeated. I know they're 3-0, and the offense is humming, and the defense is handling their own business and stuff like that. But, Miami Dolphins are not who they thought they were. the Denver Broncos is only in their second year on with Bo Nix at the helm. There's still room to grow. And the Tennessee Titans, they're starting a rookie quarterback. They didn't have to face an offense like this yet. Bad coach didn't have to face an offense like this yet. Matthew Stafford is a Hall of Famer to me. Man can throw it any way, any type of way he needs to. Kerryon Williams is a good running back. And we have a good backup in Blake Corum. And then you have Puka Nacua on one side, Devontae Adams on the other side. If we can work Jordan Winnington in, that would be great. Tutu Atwell, the deep threat. Jordan Winnington would be a three threat too, to be honest. Then you have Tyler Higbee being Dennis Allen tight end spots. I don't think they face the offense like this yet. And for the Colts offense, you have a taste of a type of defense that the Rams got. You went against the Denver Broncos and you held your own. I give you that. But this defense here, get out to you. This defense would make it uncomfortable for Daniel Jones. So I'm looking forward to this matchup. I'm looking forward to see how we game plan against him. I want to see what Chris Shula comes up for the defensive game plan. I want to see what Sean McVay, what he's going to do with the offense. Him and Matthew Stafford get together in the room, talk it out, and develop a game plan that the Colts have no answers for. So I do feel like we get back on the board with a dub against the Indianapolis Colts. That's just me. If you don't like it, oh well. The Rams get back on the winning ways. We move to 3-1, in my opinion. Before we get a visit from my NFC rivals, the 49ers, for Thursday Night Football next week for Week 5. And that's my thoughts. That's how I feel. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. Like I said, you can catch this episode on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and wherever else you can find podcasts at. If you're watching on the YouTube channel, thank you. Hit that subscribe button on the YouTube channel. If you're watching on the Playmakers Blog Network YouTube channel. If you are watching on LinkedIn, go ahead and hit me a follow on my personal LinkedIn. Connect with your boy, the Talk Rams Football. Thank y'all for tuning in. And enjoy the show. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy your football. This has been another edition of Ramy Talk. Rams Nation, East Coast Station, horns up.